Hi, I'm Jaime Rodriguez, and we're here at Unite talking to some of the Unity developers, people building games, and now we have a guest from Unity. So Todd Viras, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Todd Viras. I work in Unity Windows Phone development team. I'm based in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Yep, and you've been doing this for pretty much since Unity released for phone.
Yeah, I joined Unity just over a year ago, a year and a month to be exact.
Yep, so you've done the 4.2, 4.3, 4.5 release with us. So
yes.
You're now a veteran. And because of that, one of the things when I told people we were talking to you, a few people sent questions that they said, oh, these are questions we think only Todd Viras can answer. So we're probably going to go through those as part of these, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
Right, so mainly what people want to know a lot more about is, you know, the magic that Unity does as you process your assemblies, you know, after you compile and what you do. So maybe you can start telling us your version of that.
Yeah, we have actually three post-processing stages. When you build your game, we kind of post-process your managed assemblies, so they are compatible with Windows Phone, and so they're compatible with Unity as well. The first one is Serialization Viewer. It tries to solve the problem of serialization. Basically, the problem is that on platforms which support Mono, we have native APIs to access managed objects and we can write the fields directly. However, on .NET, we can't do that exactly. And we could do it through the reflection, and we did that in 4.2. However, that was so terribly slow that it wasn't viable at all.
Yep.
So we developed this Serialization Viewer tool, which kind of takes in your compiled assemblies, compiled code, and for each class that it thinks might be serialized by the game, injects three methods: Unity serialize, Unity deserialize, and Unity remap PPTRs. These three methods make sure that we can serialize your objects and deserialize them when we need them. For example, if you have a serializable class that has two fields, actually three fields, public int, for example, public game object, and private float, Unity deserialize code would look like serialize state reader, read int, and then it would read the game object next. It would skip the float because it's private and we don't serialize private fields. So we do this, and for each class that you have in your project, we generate serialization code that then can be run at runtime. And we don't need to worry about the changing of class layouts at all, because the code's static on the Windows Phone, Windows 10 platforms. You can't do reflection emit, so the code won't change where she other bit. So that's what it does. And with that, when we implemented that, we saw over 10 times the performance increase in serialization.
Wow. And that's the first stage, so serialization weaver stage one.
Yeah.
What comes next?
Next one is a tool called the Reference Rewriter. As you know, Windows Phone and Windows Store has a lot of restricted .NET APIs. And the problem with that is that when people want to port a game to Windows Phone or Windows Store, they already have the code bases that works on Android, on iOS, on whatever else. And they usually use those types. For example, one of the most popular one is ArrayList, and it got removed for Windows on Windows, so it's not available. So what we did was that we implemented it ourselves in our assembly called winitlegacy.dll. And we ran this tool, which looks at all the classes in the user assemblies. It looks at all the method calls, all the references, and it, for example, it sees, oh, you're using ArrayList for from MSCOLLAB. Oh, sorry, that's not available. But oh, let's look at winitlegacy.dll. Oh, it's available there, so let's use it from there instead. So that way, we can make the unavailable classes available for the developers to use, so they don't have to change the code. That's one part of Reference Rewriter. Another one is it actually, when you have managed plugins, for example, you compile for Windows Desktop, and you want it to kind of work everywhere. And since other platforms use Mono, it kind of does work because Mono doesn't really care about the version numbers or public key tokens or things like that. And we ship the MS our own MS Core Lib with that. Mm-hmm. On Windows Store, MS Core Lib sits in System 32 folder, so we can change that. And the problem is that the public key tokens and the versions differ from the ones used on the desktop. Yep. So when we see references to those assemblies, we just change them and make them just reference the right one. So it works on Windows Phone and Windows Store.
Yep, so this really makes a huge difference with regards to the how portable the code is.
Yeah.
You know, we started, it was really hard to port a game. Then you gave us all the collections and everything, and now it's much, much easier. So that step is definitely a...
Definitely. That really helps that you only need to compile the one version of the DLL mostly, most of the times, unless you want to access system-specific APIs. And you just compile it for desktop and it works everywhere. Of course, it doesn't use something forbidden that's really, really not available on the phone. For example, creating new threads is not allowed.
Yep. Cool. What about the last stage? There's a third stage.
The last stage is called the assembly converter. We added it kind of recently with 4.5.
Yep.
The problem that we're trying to solve with assembly converter is this. In Unity, in your scripts, you have methods like start, update, fixed update, all that stuff. And those aren't virtual methods. They don't override anything. They're just normal methods. Mm-hmm. On Mono platforms, we just look at those methods and see, oh, it's available. Update method is available, so let's call it. And we just call it. On Windows Phone and Windows Store, we don't have these native APIs, the same with the serialization. We used to do to use reflection to look at what methods are available. So we had all these method info stuff that was laying around and we could invoke. Mm-hmm. However, on big projects, we observed that there were up to 100,000 method info objects. Mm. So that is a really huge number, and when the garbage collector runs, it would just kill performance. It would take 40, 50 milliseconds for the garbage collector to run. It would stutter. It wasn't nice at all. So what we figured out to do was to implement this assembly converter, which at build time analyzes the assemblies, checks the start update methods, and injects the code to load the function pointers for those methods into a global buffer, just a block of native memory that is not managed by the garbage collector, just a byte array, if you want. Once we do that, we can call the methods directly without having the method info or without ever using reflection.
Yep. So it saves you memory.
It saves memory. It saves the garbage collector time. Memory, not so much. A little bit of memory. Method infos aren't really that large, but it really, really saves the garbage collector performance.
Yep. So, and that's all that happens. That's all the magic that happens beginning to end?
Pretty much it, yeah.
So now you also have, there's this managedassemblies.txt file that you put in there.
Oh, yeah. So assembly converter emits the code to load those function pointers, but it does it into its own assembly. For example, if you have a class 1 in assembly c#.dll and class 2 in assembly unitscript.dll, we'll create a method, load metadata in assembly c#.dll, which will load the function pointer for all those all that class's methods to the buffer, at the same time in assembly unitscript.dll we'll create that as well, and to invoke those methods we use reflection invoke. It happens one time during the startup, but in order to know which assemblies have that method, we kind of write it down in manage assemblies.txt.
So does manage the assemblies.txt, the manage assemblies.txt file, does it have to include all the assemblies, even if we don't expect those to be processed by Unity?
It only needs to be there if it's processed. Basically, if Unity processes it and it puts it in managed assemblies.txt and you remove it, it will crash at runtime because it will not be able to find everything it needs.
So if I have an assembly that my, you know, if I have a plugin that's, because my plugin will be processed by Unity.
Yes.
But sometimes I do these things where I declare an interface elsewhere that this plugin can then tap into a, you know, a runtime.
Manage assemblies.txt have no effect on post-processing whatsoever because that file gets written down after the post-processing is done. So it really doesn't make sense removing them from there because it won't make any difference.
It won't make any difference. Okay, cool. And you're here at Unite and you're going to have a session on mobile performance.
Yes.
So there I... Just high-level questions. First of all, we'll include a link to your session so people can watch it. But
okay.
High-level questions. Any tips for Windows Phone users on performance, given what you've seen, given what you know, what you see as common patterns?
Okay. So I think the most important thing to always use the latest Unity version. As we're always working on performance and improving it, and with each Unity version we get better and better. Other stuff includes just measuring your how many graphical assets you have, because the performance is really twofold. It's your scripts and your graphical assets. So the phone doesn't really have very fast GPUs or CPUs, so you have to. You have a limited budget of what you can work with. My tip is to always measure what your device limit is and then reduce on that.
Yep.
As for script performance, you should really profile your code. There are no general stuff I can say,
yep.
Except profiling.
Yep. And this is exactly what you're going to cover in your talk. So you're going to cover
much
a
that.
Little bit of the
yeah,
profiling.
And I'll also show how to use the Windows Performance Analyzer.
Yep.
To analyze performance for Windows.
Yep, and that's what I was trying to plug in, because your tag will be online. By the time this is online, your tag will probably be online on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll make sure we link to it so that people can watch it and see
okay.
See you in action profiling the Unity game. So great. Thank you very much, Tavidas. It's always great to use your stuff because you know we know you're focused on doing the right things and doing all this magic that makes it easier for us to do the work. So, cool. Thanks, man.
Thanks.